This particular seminar is going to deal with the financing side and alternative financing. It is not going to deal with things like taxes and HR and CPA type questions. We actually have three more of these seminars slated to go that will address those, and you'll receive information about those as well. But we decided to divide this into as palatable chunks as we possibly could. So we're thrilled to have you here this morning. I want to thank you very much, and we will kick it off to our speakers.
Hi, I'm Melinda Ailes. I'm with the Massachusetts Small Business Development Center, known as MSBDC. Probably most of you haven't heard of us. What we do is we foster the startup growth and sustainability of small businesses. And we do that by providing free, confidential, high quality business advising on a one-to-one basis. We also offer some training programs. And we do that through a cadre of very senior business advisors who have both entrepreneurial and industry information. And much of what we do when times are normal is helping with business planning, financial planning, budgeting, marketing, strategic planning. But now in these times, we're really trying to help people with disaster planning, crisis planning, sustainability. So I want to kick this off before we get to talking about the specific programs with just recognizing that these are tough times, but don't panic. And if we're trying to think of what's the most important thing that we can be doing right now, it's marshaling cash, because cash is the lifeblood of your business. So you want to think about your business, and do I know how I'm going to survive for 30 days, for 60 days, for 90 days with reduced revenues or perhaps no revenue at all? And so what I can tell you is cash is king. And I have a colleague who says, cash flow is more important than your mother. So you need cash to stay alive, to overcome the competition, because actually this is a time, if you're able to actually be thinking about the competition and what you can be doing to surpass them, you also need cash to be able to recover. So I know a lot of you like to pay your bills when you get them, but we don't want you to run out of cash. We know that once the pumps gets ready to be primed again, you need something to prime it with. So you want to be conserving cash. And what are the best ways to conserve cash? The first is you got to prioritize what you're going to pay. What can you delay? For example, as you know, in the feds en masse have delayed income tax payments. So don't pay them. You want to look at what expenses can you eliminate and think about your fixed expenses first. Things like rent, reducing utilities, unnecessary subscriptions, unnecessary communications methods. Anything you can cut, you want to cut now. And the next thing you want to do is you want to communicate with all of your vendors and lenders and look for relief. And you're going to be able to find in many places that the relief is available. For example, you'll hear more from Lori, but the SBA has formally announced yesterday that on any of its loan programs, you are not going to have to pay principal and interest. And I believe it's going to be 6 months, but Lori can probably comment to that. The other thing is some of you are worried about your personal situations as well. The FDIC has recommended to mortgage lenders that they give deferments to individual consumers and do not ding their credits for being late. And depending on what state you're in, for example, in Massachusetts, the governor has asked utilities not to be set off, not to be shut off. He's also requested that there be a bill that there be no foreclosures. So one of the things anybody in crisis management will tell you, don't pay the cash, we'll sort it out in the end. And so even though it feels kind of creepy to not pay some of your bills, it's really important that you marshal that cash. And you may, if your business is closed now, this is a time when you should be thinking about your branding and positioning yourself for the future. This is a time to update your digital marketing and your SEO and your Google presence. So those are the big pieces. But you also need to be thinking about how do you generate cash. And generating cash is, you know, there are simple things. Go collect your accounts receivable. Talking with some businesses that are able to get some prepayments. Daycare centers in particular are able to get prepayments, and that cash is really important. I've got other clients who are actually selling stuff off. They're getting rid of obsolete inventory. So those are the big pieces of conserving cash. And now what we want to do is talk about what are the sources of financing. And I'm going to pass it off to Lori in a second, who's going to give you an overview of the main loan programs available through the SBA and the CARES Act. But first, I want to help you understand how fluid and rapidly changing these government programs are. In a very short period of time, days and weeks, the SBA, which is a federal agency, has created an entirely new set of loan programs. And because they're being rolled out for the first time, they're being tested and refined in real time. For example, if you've already applied for the SBA's economic injury loan, known as EIDL, and you requested it more than 3 days ago, we want to recommend that you go back in and fill it out again because they've added a $10,000 non-loan payable. It's an advance, sorry, I'm bobbling my words. But it wasn't in the original loan application. And so things are being added and changed as we go along moment to moment. And the same thing is true for the Paycheck Protection Plan, the PPP loans from the CARES Act. This is supposed to be able to be rolled out to you businesses tomorrow, but it's being offered through the banks, not the SBA. So the banks have never made these types of loans before. There are no processes, there are no systems, there are no loan documents for them to do it. And the final rules and regulations are rolling out as we go along. For example, right now, if you've looked at the PPP loan, how do you document what your payroll expenses are? There's been no definitive answers to those questions yet. Also, some banks are taking payments, taking applications in advance, and some banks aren't. So I just want to ask you to be generous when you're communicating with your lenders, because they are working as hard as you are at figuring all this out. So now I'd like to introduce Lori Driscoll of Seed Corp. We'll talk about all these new disaster loan programs. Lori?
Hi, can you hear me?
Now we can.
Oh, okay, because I couldn't, my sound went out for a minute. Good morning, everybody. My name is Lori Driscoll, and I am one of the commercial loan officers at Seed Corporation. Seed, for those of you who may not be familiar with us, Seed is Southeastern Economic Development Corporation, and we have been up and running since 1982. We are a certified development company, and we provide financing and technical assistance to small startup and existing businesses in Massachusetts and Rhode Island. We make loans as small as $5,000, and we can go up to $5 million under the SBA 504 program. We are an intermediary for the U.S. Small Business Administration for the microloan program. We also have other in-house loan programs. We are a certified development finance institution, so we receive money from the U.S. Treasury to lend. We are also a community advantage lender for the SBA, and that provides us the opportunity to obtain a guarantee on our loan funds. We have monies from the Economic Development Administration, so we very much are a soup to nuts organization, being able to help really small businesses, home-based businesses, the folks that are just leasing storefronts, and we can also assist businesses who are purchasing buildings or constructing buildings. We have a technical assistance program, and Melinda and the other folks at the SBDC are very involved in that we teach business plan preparation and business ownership workshops on a monthly basis. They are sponsored by banks and credit unions, so they are free of charge to the attendees. It's a great program to take advantage of, but I believe Devin is going to provide our information, my direct contact information, as well as Seed's website to be able to go and check out to see what it is that we're all about. So Melinda provided great background as far as how our small businesses can conserve cash right now. And the way that the SBA is assisting with that is within the Small Business Debt Relief Program. And this is part of the CARES Act. So any person, any borrower right now who has an SBA 504 loan, a 7A loan, or a micro loan, the SBA is actually covering payments, principal, interest, fees, for 6 months. And it's interesting because we just received confirmation about that last night from the SBA, and we ended up finding out from our borrowers before we found out from the SBA, because the payments were not drawn from their accounts yesterday, which was April 1st. So the other thing I would be mindful of is that there's a lot of information on the streets right now, but the information that I will provide you and Melinda will provide you is the information that's coming direct from the SBA, because as far as we're concerned, that is the information that is true. We had some issues with other actually reliable sources providing some information that ended up not being correct. So bear with me, because this is all very new. It's a very fluid situation. Some of the information we didn't receive until yesterday. So I have a pile of notes in front of me to refer to as I provide you with information. But in addition to borrowers who already have loans through the SBA, whether it is a 504, a 7A, or a micro loan through a certified development company like Seed, again, the SBA is covering that. But it's also our understanding, although, again, bear with us because we are waiting for confirmation from the SBA, is that this will also apply to new non-disaster SBA loans, that the SBA is going to be coming in and taking care of those payments as well. But again, we are waiting for confirmation on that. But obviously, with this assistance from the SBA, it certainly is going to help our borrowers and small business owners preserve cash, so that hopefully when this mess is over, they'll be able to reopen their doors and start operating again. So I think what we'll do first is go into the loan programs that are already available. And at the end, Melinda, I'm going to kick it back to Melinda again, and she'll go over some other potential alternate resources outside of what it is that the SBA is offering. But many of you may have already heard or actually already applied for the SBA's Economic Injury Disaster Loan going forward, because it's so many words, I'm going to refer to it as the EIDL. But the EIDL actually goes hand in hand now, this is a relatively new development, with the Emergency Economic Injury Grant, or the EEIG. So we have the EIDL and the EEIG, which essentially is an advance and a grant attached to the EIDL loan. So for those of you who did apply for an EIDL loan, I would say probably last week and before that, the EEIG may not have been available to you yet. So if you have yet to receive notification from the SBA, because we were told that a borrower that applies for the EIDL would have a couple of different options. They could either wait to receive notification from the SBA that the EEIG was available to them, or if they did not want to wait for that, they could go back in and reapply for the EIDL, which there's a box on one of the screens that asks if you want the advance. Now, it was brought to my attention yesterday, as far as any documentation is concerned, that it says up to $10,000, but we had heard that it was $10,000. So I'm a little uncertain as far as that's concerned as to whether that grant is going to be up to $10,000 or if it will be $10,000. But anybody that has not applied for the EIDL absolutely should. And I think Melinda is instructing people the same way, and the folks at the SBDC, that you should apply for anything that you can at this point in time that the SBA is offering you. So when you apply for the EIDL, if you are declined for that loan, you will still be given the EEIG grant, which is a grant. It is just free money. It's either up to $10,000 or $10,000, but it's money that you do not have to pay back. So that's one reason in itself that you should apply for the loan. However, if you are approved for the EIDL loan, then the grant that you receive, or the advance, if you will be taken off the EIDL loan. Now, one of the interesting things, excuse me, about the EIDL program is that when you go into the screen, you're filling out an application per se, but you're not filling out an application for a certain amount of money, because the SBA is actually going to determine what it is that they will lend to you. They ask you a series of questions related to what your business revenue is, what your cost of goods sold is, excuse me, what your operating expenses are. And this application process is, I believe it's 5 screens. And this is something that Melinda can more speak to, because I haven't gone through that process with people. And that's something that the SBDC is doing with folks. But the SBA will determine what it is that they are going to lend to you. So if a borrower gets notification from the SBA that says, you've been approved for a loan for $30,000 and applied to get the advance or the grant, then your EIDL loan will actually be for $20,000 if your grant is for $10,000. So, and the loan funds, as far as this particular program is concerned, it's essentially working capital to cover expenses and debt that your business is unable to pay due to COVID-19. Now, in addition to the SBA determining how much money they will lend under that program, they also determine how long the payback will be. And the payback can go up as high as 30 years. And the interest rate on that loan is 3.75%. So it's cheap money. It's a great opportunity to get some cash. It's my understanding that the grants are supposed, or the advance, if you will, is supposedly being given to borrowers within a 3-day period. Unfortunately, I haven't heard from any of my borrowers that have applied for that money has actually been deposited in their account yet. But I know that the grant portion of it is, or the advance, is definitely going to come in much sooner than the EIDL loan. It was my understanding from one of the lender relations specialists at the SBA that they indicated that they thought that the turnaround time on the EIDL loans would be 3 to 4 weeks. Now, obviously, that's probably, that might be a little aggressive as far as that's concerned, but just please be patient if you're going through that process. These particular loans can go up to $2 million, and the principal and interest, again, at the SBA's discretion, the SBA has the capacity to be able to defer those payments for the first 12 months. So that certainly, again, help small businesses conserve cash. So eligible businesses that can apply for this also include sole proprietors, independent contractors, and private nonprofits. If a loan is being made to a nonprofit, the interest rate drops from 3.75% to 2.75%. It is a super simple application process. And again, just make sure if you did apply for the EIDL before the EEIG was put into play, then please make sure that you go back in and reapply for that. And I am going to ask Melinda, because in the beginning when the EIDL was first announced, it was my understanding that any loans that were over $25,000, the SBA was going to be looking for collateral. They were doing a credit check. They were looking at the repayment ability of the small business. And they were also asking for personal guarantees. Now, having not gone through the five-screen process that there is for that loan, Melinda, I'm just going to ask you to briefly kind of pop back in again and give some feedback as far as how you found it's a super simple process to get through now. It was a heck of a lot worse when the program was first announced because borrowers were having to scan and provide attachments. But can you weigh in as far as the requirements are concerned? Because I don't know if the guarantee and the collateral and the credit and the repayment was loosened.
It's my understanding at this point, and again, it could change, is that yes, it will be a guaranteed loan. And any person that owns 20% or more of the business will be required to guarantee. That's my understanding at this point. My next understanding on the collateral is that they will take, if it's $25,000 or more, they will take a lien on collateral.
But I believe what they said was that, or at least before anyway, that they would not decline a loan based on lack of collateral alone.
That is correct. You cannot decline for lack of collateral.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much. All right. So that takes care of the EIDL and the EEIG. So next up, we'll move along to the CARES Act, which includes the Paycheck Protection Program, or the PPP, as I will refer to it going forward. This program is supposed to roll out tomorrow for small businesses and sole proprietors. And there is also another date of April 10th, a week later, that would be open to independent contractors and self-employed people to go in and apply for the program. But this is a loan that is made through an SBA-approved lender. These loans are 100% guaranteed by the SBA. It's my understanding it's about a $350 billion fund. You are, I mentioned before, if you have applied for the EIDL, you absolutely should apply for the PPP as well. You can apply for both. The only caveat that's there is that you have to make sure that the use of funds is different. Now, the PPP loan has very specific guidelines as far as the use of funds is concerned, and it must be used for payroll to either retain or rehire employees that you have had to lay off. It includes rent expense, mortgage interest, or utility payments. And as long as these funds are used and documented appropriately, part or all of that loan will be forgiven. Now, please keep in mind that we have not gotten, there's still a lot of information that we need to receive from the SBA between today and tomorrow to be able to provide you with specifics as far as the program is concerned. But if part of the loan is not forgiven, then the SBA is allowing a six-month deferment on that with a two-year payback, and the interest rate is 0.5%. So again, it's a quick payback, but it is very inexpensive money. They have a cap on that program that goes up to $10 million for a business owner. Now, as far as payroll calculations are concerned for this, in order for them to determine how much money it is that they're going to lend, because we have received a sample application for the PPP, and it definitely is a draft because we know that there are some things that are missing on there. But on the front page, and what ends up ultimately determining what it is that the SBA will lend, is it is based on average monthly payroll times 2.5. So that ultimately will determine what it is that you can borrow, and then the use of the funds. And the whole average monthly payroll thing is a little bit loose right now, because it's my understanding that you can go by what your average monthly payroll was for the past year. And the intent is for it to cover 8 weeks of payroll going forward up to June. And then any residual is to be used to cover the other expenses that I mentioned, the rent, the mortgage interest, and utilities. Now, the whole forgiveness thing, you're going to end up owing money if any of the loan funds are used for anything that is considered a non-eligible expense over the 8 weeks after receiving the loan. And it's also my understanding that as far as the forgiveness is concerned, that's something that you will have to go back to the lender that you received the loan fund because the loan from. Because again, this loan program is made by SBA approved lenders, your banks, your credit unions. It would make sense to go to the bank that you do business with. However, if your bank is not an approved lender from SBA, and perhaps you haven't done any borrowing before, then between Melinda and myself, we certainly can provide recommendations and referrals to other banks and credit unions who use the program. So just keep that in mind. We certainly can help you with that. There may be some SBA approved banks. I've heard rumblings that may not participate in the program. And even though tomorrow is the launch date, there are some banks that are not chomping at the bit to launch tomorrow because they just don't feel comfortable yet because they don't have their own processes set up. So keep in mind, as far as the payroll is concerned, is that you will also owe money to pay back for the PPP loan if you do not maintain your staff and your payroll. You can't decrease your full-time employees. You can't decrease the salaries and wages for any employees by more than 25% for somebody that's making less than $100,000 in 2019. And if it's a situation where you have laid employees off, you have to make sure that you rehire them by June 30th. They have to be restored by then. And what they'll do is they'll look at the changes that you made in your business from mid-February till almost the end of April. So those are the folks that you need to make sure, if you have let anybody go during that time, that they are rehired by the end of June. Now, I think I mentioned that there was a six-month deferment on this loan. There is no prepayment penalty. So if you decided to pay it off early, you can. One of the other questions on the application references an addendum that we have not been given yet, but you do have the capacity. If you receive an EIDL loan, you have the capacity to be able to roll the EIDL loan into the PPP loan. There's a question on the application that specifically asks if your business has received an economic injury disaster loan between the periods of the end of January of this year through the beginning of April. So it'll be your decision to do that, I guess. And Melinda, I don't know how you feel about this, but I guess my concern is that if somebody rolls in their EID loan into the PPP loan, but they don't extend it beyond 2 years, your payment could be, even though the interest rate is only 0.5%, if you get a decent sized loan on the EIDL side, and it has to be paid back within a 2-year period. If you had a longer term on the EIDL loan, you may not want to roll that in. So there's a lot of moving parts here and a lot of things to consider. But this particular, the PPP loan, what's great about it is there's no personal guarantee. There is no collateral requirement. These are 100% guaranteed by the SBA. So the banks are not going to be losing money on the deal if for one reason or another the loan is not repaid. Again, $10 million cap. Don't be surprised if your bank is not prepared or ready to move forward with this. Don't be discouraged, though. Please be patient, because we're all kind of, this is a moving target that we're all trying to keep up with. The current deadline to apply for the PPP loan is June 30th, but we are highly recommending that if you are considering applying, that you do so as soon as possible, because that fund has $350 billion in it. But based on the number of small businesses that we have, I think that money is going to get snapped up pretty quickly. And we also might see changes being made in this program depending on how long this crisis lasts. So even though they have definitive information and guidelines set in place at this point in time, that could change over time. So just please keep that in mind as well. I have, and Melinda has, a sample application. If anybody would like it, I can send that to you via email just so that you can take a look at it to see what information is being required. I also have a general overview about the program, and I have a specific overview as it applies to borrowers and lenders. So if anybody is interested in that, I certainly can send it over to you. But I know it's a lot of information to take in at one time, but by the same token, I didn't provide you with anywhere near the amount of information that we already have, just because it's just too much to take in all at once. And again, this may change over time with this program. But Melinda, I'm going to hand it right back over to you in case you have any input about folks that you're dealing with that are filling out the PPP application in advance just to prepare themselves. And then I think that you're also going to talk about or provide some information about potential alternative financing options.
Thanks, Lori. As you can all tell, again and again, it's a moving target. And what Lori just described about the ability of the EIDL being rolled into the PPP, I actually haven't seen that, Lori. So that came as new to me. And I think that's going to be very problematic.
I agree.
For how that gets done. And my guess is at some point that'll get stopped because it will be so difficult to do. I just want to make sure that you all realize that there are other alternatives if these loan programs don't fit for you. There are some micro lenders like Axion that are making higher interest loans quickly to small businesses. There are asset-based lenders. Those are lenders that lend based on the assets in your business. And there are folks like Jane's Financial, which lends against baseball cards and jewelry. And there are hard money lenders that lend against real estate. And there are asset-based lenders like Diamond Business Credit that lends against inventory and accounts receivable. But I want to really caution you about predatory internet lenders like Cabbage. Those lenders get access to your checking account, and based on the money that comes in on credit card payments, they pull money directly out of your account on a daily basis. And depending on how they calculate it, the interest rate can be north of 50%. I have more than one client that have been put out of business by them. So whatever you can do, try to avoid the predatory lenders. And Lori did mention there is one other SBA program that's affiliated with this disaster program. It's called the Express Bridge Loan. And that is for folks who have already applied for an EIDL, but they're looking for up to $25,000 in addition. Lori and I have talked about this, and the reason we're not emphasizing is because we don't recommend it. It's going to be a full credit review like banks are making now on all loans. It will be credit scored. It will take collateral. You will guarantee it. It may have fees, and there are no restricted interest rates. So the two that we're really recommending right now are the EIDL and the PPP. Okay, so I think we should, Mike, open it up for questions.
We have a couple questions. I'm Mike O'Sullivan, the other co-CEO. We have a few questions. Does the advance apply even if somebody is applying for the PPP?
Yes.
Okay.
You can still apply for the grant if you are applying for the PPP loan, but please note, and I apologize if I didn't emphasize this, you are not allowed, you can't just apply for the EEIG advance grant. You have to apply for the EIDL in order to obtain the EEIG.
Gotcha. Okay.
Mike, a question that I've seen pop up more than once has been the timing of the application for the EIDL. If when you filled out, and Ed, you were the last one to ask about this, if when you filled out the application for the EIDL, you did not have the option to check off wanting the up to $10,000 advance, we recommend you go in and do it again. So that the first round of application was long. You had to upload documents. There was all kinds of stuff. It's now a online, interactive, much shorter process. So if anybody here has applied and did not get the question of do you want the up to 10K advance, go back in and do it again. And we have been told that your reapplying will not change your place in the queue from your first application.
If I'm a non-for-profit and we have no owners, do they consider the board chair as the owners or should they leave it blank?
I'm not sure, but let me tell you, most banks, when they're making a loan to a nonprofit, do require the board of directors to be noted. So what you can find on the application won't, for the PPP will not allow you to go forward or on the EIDL unless you filled out the required field. So leaving it blank causes you not to be able to go forward, put a note that says see attached board of directors list.
Okay. On the application, it says 12 months of payroll information. Mm. Is that shorter? And do you know what the time frame is? In other words, does it end at the calendar year ending 19?
That is the trickiest question, Mike, because we know that the wording says most companies will use an average 12-month payroll. And they are assuming that that 12-month is January through December of 2019. There are not specific guidelines yet whether you can use a different period of time. There is, however, a carve-out for seasonal businesses that can use the period of time for their season. And so I think, Lori, if you can send those documents to Devin. Devin, can you send them out so people can read those details themselves?
Yeah, I can do that.
Great.
Yeah, I'm just gonna pop in too. As far as the seasonal employees are concerned, we are waiting for clarification from SBA as far as that time period is concerned, because I had seen information that was presented from another organization that included payroll from March to June. But honestly, that doesn't help the Cape-based businesses or the businesses that are on Martha's Vineyard, because their high season doesn't kick in until the end of June. So we are waiting for clarification on that as far as how that would be calculated. But we're also waiting for confirmation on how new businesses would provide that information as well. I mean, I have a borrower that just purchased a business. So he essentially began in February as the new owner of the business. So, and then if it's startup business, obviously. So there, again, this goes back to, this is very fluid and we are still waiting for additional information. So if you're asking questions in the chat that we are not yet able to answer, then I think Devin can probably retain those questions and we can make sure that we get the answers to you when the information is available.
Yep, I can do that, no problem.
Thank you.
So if someone parted ways with an employee but they weren't laid off and they're looking for replacement but they haven't hired somebody at the moment, will this cause an issue with an application for PPP?
I don't think so, because I think as long as it is documented appropriately and that person is, even though that it's not the same employee that's being brought back and there's a reason behind why that individual is not being brought back, as long as that position is being filled by another full-time employee, then I think that it would be okay. But again, this is a very specific question to information that we have received that is very broad.
Right.
It
does seem like it's more based on the number of jobs than it is who's in the job.
Right, exactly. That's what I think, but I can't say for sure.
One of the concerns we have is they have not detailed for us yet what documentation means. So we don't know what is going to be considered acceptable. We do believe that payroll records, particularly if you use a payroll company, things like that, which should be accepted, but we're not certain yet.
Yeah, somebody asked the question, I hired a new person in June of 19, and he's still working for us full time. Will that additional person be considered in my 19 total as though he was here all year?
We can't answer that because we don't know where the average is coming. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you want to think about is if you had, because there are going to be a lot of companies that are listening on this call that had very different employment January or February versus October or November. The average that you may use may not be best served by being a 12-month average. It may be where you are today is your better average. Mm-hmm. And because we don't have any external guidance on that, we're going to have to say use your best judgment.
Right. And I think I'm just going to hop on to that. And it's this, in the event that this ends up coming up, as far as how it relates to the loan forgiveness, because that has to be documented very specifically. And within the borrower overview that we received about the PPP program yesterday, as it pertains to how you would go about getting your loan forgiven, and just bear with me, I'm going to read this because it's not, I don't have it memorized, but it's about how you request loan forgiveness. So that loan forgiveness is something, it's a request that you're going to submit to your lender that approved and provided you with the loan. And the request for forgiveness is going to include documents that verify the number of full-time equivalent employees you have, the pay rates, as well as the payments on eligible mortgage, lease, and utility obligations. You have to certify that the documents are true and that you used the forgiveness amount to keep the employees and make eligible mortgage interest, rent, and utility payments. The lender must make a decision on the forgiveness within 60 days. So this is something that's going to happen pretty quickly because, again, you have up until through June to be able to use those funds. And then that's when the documentation comes into play. I can't stress strongly enough, because this is, it's kind of a loose thing, because you want to make sure there's a uniform explanation as far as what it is that needs to be done. But banks that are looking at these requests might look at things a little bit differently. We don't know that. So if you're a small business owner that is applying for the PPP loan and you are certainly hoping to get as much as possible, if not all of it, forgiven, please make sure that you document everything very, very carefully. And again, we can send this to you, but it's all about documenting, because obviously any business owner is going to want to get all of that loan forgiven, if not the bulk of it.
How does the lender verify that the borrower had employees from who the borrower paid salaries and payroll taxes? Is there some other way outside the payroll account statements?
We don't know the answer to that question. Okay. We don't know if they're actually going to go to the state and see whether they received the tax payments or not. We don't know.
Okay. If anybody has any additional questions, please feel free to put it in the chat room. Would it make sense to put the PPP loan money in a separate checking account and just pay the forgivable expenses from that account?
I would say that makes a lot of sense. Anything that makes your documentation process easier, I would do it. The other thing that Laura, you may have mentioned this and I may have just missed it. On the PPP loan, when you're calculating the payroll amounts, they will, for any individual in your company, including you as the owner, the cap is $100,000 per full-time equivalent.
So
if you, with the benefits, go over $100,000, you are only able to put in for a max of $100,000.
Yes.
So for applicants who are not members of my financial institution, do I need to get articles of incorporation or organization?
At the time of the application, I do not believe that those are being requested. The application process now is much simpler, but both application processes are set up so that the lender can come back and ask for more information. And so one of the things that I believe that all companies should be prepared to do is provide that type of information, provide prior year's tax returns, provide personal owner's tax returns, provide updated P&Ls and balance sheets. Be able to get your hands on that information quickly if they come back and request it.
Right, and payroll reports, because I had one of my borrowers, she is one of my 504 clients, she had reached out to her bank regarding the PPP loan, and they had provided her with the sample application just so that she could start working on it. But he did request that she reach out to her payroll service so that she can get payroll reports so the bank can review those. And I would imagine that that's probably something that all of the banks will end up requesting, just so that they have documentation. But again, we have to wait for verification and clarification from the SBA.
So one recommendation that I would make to everyone is call your bank and see if your bank is planning on doing them and what you can do to get ready for it.
Who do you use for a PPP application?
Any SBA approved certified bank or credit union. So if you're a small business owner there is a list of banks that are SBA approved on the SBA website, but honestly, it's just easy to pick up the phone and call the branch manager if you're a small business owner who typically hasn't done borrowing before in the past. Just give the bank a call and say, you know, I'm one of your customers, small business customers. Are you an SBA approved bank or credit union? But at the same time, it would also make sense to ask them if they are participating in the program, based on the fact that I've heard rumblings that there are SBA approved banks who may not do so.
There, I was also speaking with some bankers late last night also, Lori, whose banks are not yet prepared to do this. So even though they're supposed to be able to roll out Friday, there's not a chance.
Right.
How about 1099 employees?
1099 employees can be included in the payroll calculation.
And what if it's a 1099 vendor, like a CFO for hire?
I believe that those, because that is payroll, they can be included.
Okay.
The regs, the rules as out so far include contractors.
Okay. And does this, it also includes part-time employees, right?
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Okay. If we don't have any more questions.
I did see one early on in the list that asked the question about landlords and whether or not future loss of rent can be in any way considered.
That is, if your question is if, or the person's question is, if I'm a landlord and can I consider loss of rent? The answer is yes. But that applies more specifically to the EIDL loan because they're looking for what you've lost as revenue sources than it does to the PPP loan.
Okay, great. Well, we're right on time. And we'd like to, we do have a couple more questions. Hold on.
Just so that we don't get cut off, Lori's organization, SEED, and my organization, SBDC, Devin has put in the chat function how to get in touch with us, and we're more than happy to answer questions and help folks as best we can.
So there's a couple quick questions, and I think I already know the answer to. How does a sole proprietor, they apply as the owner, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And their payroll, when the sole proprietor is calculating what the payroll will be, it is their net operating income that they show on their Schedule C.
Okay. And the component, the question is, could you review the components of how we arrive at total average payroll cost? But I think the answer there is that's open at the moment.
It's open, but rather than reviewing them, that is specifically spelled out in the materials that we're going to send you as a follow-up. So take a look at that. We're hoping, and there has been one drafted, but it hasn't been formalized yet, that there's actually going to be a worksheet for filling that out. And we've seen a worksheet that comes out of one of the people in the industry, but it's not SBA blessed yet.
Okay.
Bye.
Go ahead.
Mike, I think I saw one about from Darlene, who she said within 60 days, we yes. will need all the documents for the $10,000 to be forgiven. No, the EIDL loan that includes the advance or the EEIG, that's an automatic grant. It's supposed to be issued within several days, but I don't think that that's happening. But when you get that up to $10,000, you don't have to document anything. It's essentially free money for you to have, whether you get approved for the EIDL or you don't get approved for the EIDL. But remember, if you do get approved for the EIDL, then that $10,000 or up to $10,000 will be taken off or subtracted from the total loan that you're approved for.
Okay.
I saw that just came through the chat. Ann Fenton from my office just posted a website location where you can go online and request counseling from us. And that you can send me an email, absolutely. But going on and filling in that request for counseling form may get you contact even quicker because we have a whole group of advisors that can get back to you.
So Darlene is asking as a follow-up, Lori, so no documents are needed for that grant, for the $10,000 grant?
No, when you fill out the EIDL application, you've got to go through that application process in order to get the EEIG grant. So within the EIDL loan application, there are questions that you have to answer about your business as far as what your gross revenue is, what your cost of goods sold are, if that applies to you, and your operating expenses. I was only able to get through the first couple of screens. I know Melinda's gone through the whole process with people, but there's no specific documentation that you have to attach or scan and provide with that application. It's just a matter of answering questions.
Yeah, but they may come back and ask you questions after they've received that preliminary application.
Okay.
By the way, one of the, if any of you haven't filled out the EIDL yet, and you have a service-based business, not a product-based business, and it asks you what is your cost of goods sold, it's zero.
Just put zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What about other Massachusetts assistance programs?
So in Massachusetts, the state, through the Massachusetts Growth Capital Corporation, had started a fund with $10 million called the Small Business Recovery Loan Fund. And that system was immediately overloaded by people who were applying for that loan, so much so that the governor had announced in another one of his press conferences that another $10 million was being infused into it. And honestly, I don't know if it was because they needed to try and fulfill or satisfy applications that were waiting in a queue. I did reach out to a contact at Mass Growth Capital Corporation, but did not hear back from him. But I have not heard additional information on it. And that's all I know, is that loan fund is not, you can't apply for that loan anymore. It was only within just a few day period. And it was almost, in my opinion, a stopgap before the EIDL loan was announced by the SBA.
Okay, one last question. Can someone apply for just the $10,000 forgivable part of the EIDL?
No, you have to apply for the EIDL in order to get the grant, but it's worth going through a five screen application process to be able to get up to $10,000 of free money. And there is no, the other thing to note though, is if you don't think that you need the EIDL loan, then you have the capacity to apply for it, get the grant, and then there's no prepayment penalty on that program, so you can pay it off right away.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Lori and Melinda. This has been very, very, very informative. We really appreciate it. I'd like to remind everybody that Devin is going to be sharing all of the links and information. So if you need Lori's contact info or Melinda's contact info or have additional questions, you'll know how to reach us. And we greatly appreciate everyone's time and your coming. And we recognize this is very difficult times and it's new for everyone. As you could hear, it's new for us. It's new for folks in the business and the banks. And I'll turn it over to Rick Kidder.
Yeah, one last thing, Devin. Would you let folks know when the next seminar is and what its topic will be?
Yes, so the next seminar will be Tuesday the 7th, and we'll be focusing on human resources, unemployment, things of that nature. Just like this one was centric to the finance, this will be more human resource related. So again, April 7th at 10 a.m., and more information to follow.
Thank you all very, very much, and thank our speakers very, very much.
Yes, thank you again.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day, everybody.
Hang in there.
Thank you.
Thank you.